T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is Gresh and Fourier.
Heinen to Marjan! He scores! 28 seconds! How's that for an answer?
The Bruins win it 4-2.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier right now on WEEI.
Could we pack more into a tad over 2 hours today from Detroit, where it is draft day? By God, we have been waiting for this. All of the talk, the subterfuge, well, there really hasn't been a lot of that. It's more of the marketplace confusion. And then you throw in some Bruins and Celtics, and by God, where do you want to start?
Some Bruins, some Celtics, then you throw in... Maybe include the Red Sox. Maybe not.
How about this?
I feel like
they won 8-0. Bayo's on the IL.
Okay, good. That's all
we need to do. We'll get back to it tomorrow.
Okay, the kids are holding it down. All right, so you, I'll tell you what. So Scott Pioli at 10:30.
Yep.
So that's probably because, listen, if you're a GM and you've gone through this, say you're a first time GM, it's your first draft ever, I would assume you'd be pretty nervous. You'd have some anxiety, right? Because you're saying everything, you're making, doing all the interviews. You think you have all your ducks in a row. All the silos are gone, and now when that number 3 pick, you have 10 minutes to make the pick, and you have 10 minutes for somebody to make you an offer. Then you have probably less time to actually decide. So, let's wait for draft talk at 10:30, and we'll start with Scott. You pick a sport. You pick either dealer's choice. You want to go Bruins or you want to go Celtics?
I would say that.
Hold on.
What's that?
If you close your eyes and you listen and you pay attention, I think you can hear the Heat make another 3-pointer.
Here's Jovic. 3-pointer is in, and the theme for
there
the
it
Heat
is. There
continues.
It is. Another one. That would be what? Would that be the 24th one they made?
Yeah.
That would be the 24th one they made.
In staying in Boston sports tradition, I guess, let's start with the team that lost, and that would be the Celtics, who lose game 2 to the Heat, 111-101. And I came away because, I mean, we passed up a once-in-a-lifetime chance to see a jelly donut or jelly roll.
Jelly roll.
And because we wanted to watch playoff games. Well, here's what I came away with from the Celtics game last night. There were two things that really stood out. Number one, Miami hit shots at a rate from 3 that they really haven't all season. So from that end, I can quibble with the Celtics and say, hey, maybe you should have closed out a little bit better. I think the adjustments can be made from the Celtics' defensive end, as much as Miami's not going to rip 23 three-pointers. That's not really their game. But conversely, the Celtics got away from their game. They found a way to have Tatum and Brown put up big numbers, yet it felt like it really turned into a lot of isolation basketball, which made it difficult for guys like Jrue Holiday and, more importantly, Porzingis. You got Porzingis to be the chip, to be the key, so that you can beat teams like Miami. He can't have the night that he had last night. So I think one offensive tweak, one defensive tweak combined with Miami coming back down to normal, I'm not freaked out.
Okay. Well, I think you just basically just – was it just as simple as, hey, is as simple as the Heat's game plan, we're just going to shoot more threes and take more attempts? And it really wasn't – I think it was 6 more attempts in game 2 than it was in game 1. Or was it merely the fact that they just made them? They shot over 53% from three-pointer from three-point land in game two and barely 34% in game one. Was it just the fact – it was almost like the Celtics said, we don't think you're going to make them.
Yeah.
You heard it during the time. Hey, you know, go – and then they got on rhythm. Then they're getting confidence. And then everybody was above their average. Or it really kind of felt like last year's series – when guys were just doing things that they hadn't done all year.
Tyler Hero doesn't normally get you 14 assists. He's not that
disciplined
point guard. Franchise record in hitting threes last night.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I think if the Celtics close out more, those guys aren't going to be knocking them down.
See, that bugs me. Like, so 62% of their points came from three-pointers.
Right.
Why weren't they doing a better job of closing out?
Well, because I think Miami started to get into their offense a little bit. And to me, it was Miami making the extra pass. At times last night, in watching the Miami Heat play offense, I thought to myself, this is what the Celtics normally do. They move the ball, make the extra pass, get it to the open guy or whatever. You know, well, game one, like, Hauser went off, right? It wasn't because Sam Hauser's just beating people and shooting one-legged fadeaway three-pointers. It's because they move the ball and they got him in position to be able to knock down those shots. And to me, that's what the Heat did last night. And you got to give Coach Spo credit, 10-3 now in game twos after a game one loss.
He's, you know, to your point.
But there's nothing left for him to play.
To your point. So I do feel like the Heat gave the Celtics a taste of their own medicine. So the Celtics, 12 of 32, 37.5%. Okay, 36 total points from three-pointers. The Heat, they took 43. They made 23 of them, 53.5. 69 total points. So – they had 33 more three-pointer points than the Celtics. 33. I feel like that's an obviously issue. And if you just assume it's an outlier, I think you're falling into another trap. If you just assume that this is a one-and-done, hey, listen, you know what? They'll eventually miss. Because I felt like that's what they were hoping for. Third quarter comes around. Fourth quarter. Hey, listen, it was almost like Joe Mazzulla took my approach to gambling. They're due, but they're due to miss. So, and you can tell, listen, there's stats out there. Go find them. The difference between closing out close to closing out median to not closing out at all. There is some pressure on the shooter. But if you allow an average shooter some time to set his feet, take a good look at the basket, the dude's in the pros. He's probably going to hit it.
No, it's not, dude. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, hey, tell that to Joe Mazzulla, though. Tell that to Joe Mazzulla. And so, I mean, so the average, even for a bad shooter, is going to go up.
All right, let's hear Mazzulla after the game on the adjustments made when they started making threes.
When things like that are happening, it puts more pressure on your offense. Your offense has to be more efficient. Your offense has to be more effective. And you have to look at the other side of the adjustment. And so the Hero Adebayo pick and roll is dangerous in itself. And you start going to switching or you start, inching out to those guys and not having shifts. And then you're making that a two-on-two game with their two best players. And so the first adjustment was to try to become more efficient on the offensive end. And, we were able to do that in some stretches. It was, like a 6 to 8 point game? And so it was a 2-3 possession game. So with the team shooting 55% from three and you shooting 37%, you getting more shots than them and getting outshot by 11 for it to be a two-possession game for the majority of the fourth quarter, I think is, you know, you're looking to just be more efficient on the offensive end. Once we got it down to, like, 8 to 10, then they went to the post-ups or the out-of-bio shots, which, you know, those are the shots you would be giving up if you went to the switching or if you went to that. So I think it just puts more pressure on your offense to be more efficient.
Hold on. I'm with him.
Wait, I'm totally with him. Can I dissect this real quick?
Yeah.
Let me know if I'm right or wrong. So his adjustment had nothing to do with some defensive adjustment. It was because I think he kind of stayed with, okay, they're going to eventually miss. They didn't. His adjustment was to shoot more and to shoot better. Like, it puts more pressure on the offense.
Hang
so, hey, you guys, they're playing well, and they're making all their shots. You got to make your shots as well.
Yeah, they needed to be.
Ask backwards?
No, they needed to be more efficient offensively.
Yeah, that's my point. Make your shots. Stop missing them.
Well, but, I mean, closing out on Miami, I think it's a simple adjustment based on the people that they had out there, you know, with jocks. And, listen, Hero played his ass off. So did Adebayo. But, you know, Caleb Martin went 5 of 6 from three. Jovic 3 of 4 from three. Highsmith comes off the bench. Like, seriously, I'm going to sit here and be like, oh, my God. You know, Haywood Highsmith was the guy that really made the difference in the game. Good Lord, the 64 wins are going to go out the window. I think what Joe Mazzulla said is exactly right, because there were like 4 buckets offensively that like banged out. I think Drew Holiday had like 2 of them, and I think Porzingis had 2. To me, Christian, one of the bigger things offensively is they found a way to make Porzingis less efficient, and they negated him. And I think that if Joe Mazzulla doesn't re-say it, but if we dive deeper into it, it's the how in the hell did you find a way to get Kristaps Porzingis to go 1 of 9 from the field and only 6 points?
I also feel like there's this weird, like, hey, listen, they're giving you these mismatches because there was a lot of – it's almost like they were hunting the mismatches. It was almost like there was a
– oh, no, well, it was both. The Celtics went the Celtics went after Tyler Hero when they could on offense, and I think the pick and roll stuff really – you know, caused the Celtics some problems in the fourth quarter.
I tell you what, here's the thing with the Heat. You can't underestimate them.
Totally agree.
They live off that. They thrive off of that. And I was mocking it, and like, shame on me for just really assuming that because they're the 8th seed again.
All right.
And no. There is this.
Bro, if they win this series 4-1.
Did you just bro me?
I did.
You
but
broed me.
I did, but bro, if they win this series 4-1. Does it – it sounds like you think there's impending doom.
No.
Okay.
That's why
I broed you. Fine. I'll take it back.
There is this
– send it backwards.
You know, I just thought that they were – here's my problem. I think that they were past this whole, like, hey, they're the Heat, they're the 8th seed. Hey, they don't worry. They're not a good three-pointer shoot. They're not a good three-pointing team. And sure as hell, they beat you at your own game, shooting a ton of threes and making them and beating you. So you can't trust them. You can't assume that they're just going to lay down. Like, it's just nothing about them says that. So if you assume you can't, like, I was just watching Drew Holiday, and then I'll drop it.
No, because
I was watching Drew Holiday
alone.
I feel
like you're now beating yourself up.
No, I'm not, because I feel like they are probably doing the same thing. How did we let this one get away? We didn't play good enough defense. Drew Holiday alone was not being Drew Holiday. He was not being the pest. He was not being – sometimes he would run to close out. He wouldn't even put his hand up. And like, well, you know, they're not going to make it. They did. How many times does he have to learn his lesson? That's all. So do I still think they're going to beat the Heat? But yes, I do. But holy crap. You let this home game slip through your fingers because they decided to go on a franchise NBA record-breaking spree of three-pointers. It's freaking amazing. Are you kidding me?
Look, they need to close out better, definitely. But, like, we just watched a highlight right here where Caleb Martin is in the corner and Tatum's got the hand in his face. Now, look at what the Heat are doing here as we watch it.
Porzingis not even trying.
No, but you know what it is? They're passing the basketball around. Look at what happened last night. Tatum and Brown played great, but it turned into the one-on-one type stuff where they weren't passing it around. I think the adjustment's easy, but I would also say, first of all, look at Tyler Hero, by the way, after the game.
I love it.
Oh,
He looks like the, whatchamacallit, Better Off Fred or Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, no question.
Hey, put a hat and glasses on him so nobody knows that he's dead.
It's a pretty interesting look. He's a weird dude.
I love it.
I mean, the guy played his ass off last night. We know it's draft day. We've also got playoff games. You know what's really interesting is, so we've got our friends from Washington beside us. If we can figure it out, Brian Mitchell will join us. Their midday show, we'll talk with them a little bit to see if there's any chance Jaden Daniels slides by number 2, and it sure as hell doesn't seem to. We've got our friends in Chicago, And I jumped on with them yesterday a little bit. They were doing one of those mock draft deals. And I kind of made the joke that, yeah, it's draft night, but we also got playoff games to pay attention to. And that caught
that. That hurt him. That stung a little bit.
A little bit. But it really is the truth. Good morning to the Twitchers. You can watch us on Twitch. We are set up and ready to go. The light is blaring in on me in particular. So we do.
The Lord has taken.
That's what it is.
Taking a liking to you.
So before the Twitchers start complaining about, I don't have a shade there or something, it's like, okay, it's not a home game for us, so there is a little bit of light kind of booming in. You can also watch us on YouTube. Go to YouTube, type in WEEI. Live stream will pop up right there. Now let's get to the good. The Bruins win 4-2 last night, and really the third period was about Brad Marchand. The game gets tied at 2, and we heard the clip in the open there of Marshy turning around and grabbing control of the game right away, 3-2, and then I know there was the missed opportunity at the empty netter, and they showed Jim Montgomery where it was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe this actually happened. Marchy goes and scoops it up, ends up scoring 4-2. They come away with the win. I think there are two things here. One will be the goaltender, Jeremy Swayman.
Yep.
And one will be the comments from Toronto coach Sheldon Keefe. Well, this guy Sheldon Keefe is catching heat for doing the Belichick with William Nylander. It's the I have no updates. And now the people in Toronto, and even I think PK Subban might have gone on ESPN and was like, you got to respect the people of Toronto and give them the information that they're looking for.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I'm not a carpenter, but I carry around a hammer.
There you go.
Who was that?
That was PK Subban.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Well, last night, the hammer, you could argue, was Jeremy Swayman, who ended up playing great. And after the game, said, I'd like to stay in there. Your thoughts?
Here's my thoughts on this. I was going to find the actual quote, but that was
for me personally.
It.
Oh, here we
I
go.
Want rest. I just want to keep playing. I think no matter when I get the call, whether again it's back to back or every other game, I want to make sure my body's ready and I'm ready to perform at my best.
You know what? If you read the quotes,
it's that time.
No, but if you read the quote and then you listen to that, that is not an ultimatum or a guy who's ticked off at all.
Okay, I'll read it for you. So you heard the sound. I think for me personally, I don't want rest. I just want to keep playing. No matter when I get the call, whether it's back-to-back or every other game, I want to make sure my body is ready and I'm ready to perform at my best. This guy, although Omar and Swayman are buddies and they've done an excellent job, you know, handling the situation, the structure that has been forced on them, I would say that this dude doesn't want to come out. Now, he wants to keep it nice and loose, and he doesn't want any tension, obviously.
Right.
But he doesn't want to come out, and he probably thinks it's stupid that he has to come out. And he doesn't, and he shouldn't come out. He shouldn't. He should keep him in there. Montgomery should keep him in there.
I think Swayman,
ride it out.
I think Swayman should play game 4.
Absolutely.
No, I'm with you on
it's
that.
I think what the record is, there was something like 28 or 29 like rotations or something like that that they went through. Some record in the NHL.
It's 29 games they've been going back and forth now.
Okay, thank you, Nick. 29 games. I think at any point in time, I think everybody on the team, including Omar, although he'll probably have the biggest issue with it, okay, because he's going to have to fight for playing time now.
Yep.
I mean, listen, the proof is in the pudding. I hate to say it. He's undefeated against these guys, against the Leafs in the last 2 years. He's obviously on a roll. He's playing great. Why would you change it? Why? Just because you promised playing time? Like, stop. Pull the Belichick line and say, I got to do what's best for the team. If you were really to give the players on the team some truth serum, they would all say, stick with Swayman. Don't change it. What do you think?
Well, I think Swayman's got to play game 4, but I don't think one game necessarily means that they should abandon the philosophy. But I think the philosophy has always been pliable to play who you want. And given the way Swayman played last night, I'm with you. I think you leave him in there for game 4, but I don't think it is, well, we're just riding Jeremy Swayman the rest of the way. They don't want to make the declarative statement because they don't want to get backed into the way they did last year. So it's a little more, hey, let's keep it open-ended. We have a plan, but we haven't told anybody what the real plan is going to be, but the goaltenders know. But look, Swayman played great last night, and I thought the Bruins did about that first period I thought was really tight. Second period, you started to get a little more action. And then in the third period, it was almost like the dam broke a little bit where you started to see some scoring. And then there was Marshy, who did what captains do. You tie it up, you turn around, you're on the road, you go get the big-time goal. However, Toronto coach Sheldon Keefe not happy with Marchand because he thinks he's getting away with dirty tricks.
When things like that are happening, it puts more pressure on your offense.
Oh, that is Joe Mazzulla.
Joe Mazzulla.
He gets called. It's unbelievable, actually, how it goes, you know. We got to play through that. We got to play through that stuff. I don't think there's another player in this series that gets away with taking up Bertuzzi's legs the way that he does. There's not one other player in the series that gets away with that, but he does. It's an art. And he's elite at it.
It's an art. It's an art, and he's elite at it.
He is.
So how about this, Sheldon Keefe?
You got to play through that.
Yes, that's exactly right, Nick. I'm glad
he's crying.
You got to play through. It is what it is. You know what? Here's the other thing, too. Superstars, and Brad Marchand is one. He is also the captain of the Bruins, which carries some weight within the National Hockey League. Those guys are going to get those kind of calls. Am I wrong on that? It's happened forever in the sport of hockey. And Brad Marchand, to me, is no different than anybody else.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Yeah, draft day, Johnny Manziel. 5 years later, how am I the man still? Draft day, A. Wiggins. That other side, we stay winning. Oh, man, you know I had to do it for you.
We are here in Detroit, and as you can see, we are 9 hours and 28 minutes away from the draft finally beginning, and oh boy, we had, we got Cameron Wolf, who apparently got to sit down with Gerard Mayo and sort of talk through things. I guess Mayo gave
one-on-one.
Yeah, I guess Mayo gave an explanation of the whole bag comment or whatever. Yeah. But oh my God, Christian,
what does a bag mean to you?
Even today, seriously, even today, it's more of the, well, one person in the organization is saying one thing, and one person in the organization is saying another. So again, I don't know if this whole thing is orchestrated. I don't know if they're just such a mess that one person's talking, one person isn't. But it sure as heck seems like Drake May ultimately is going to be the guy. And I know that you're hooking up.
Oh yeah, so boys, look at your text message real quick, Billy, so you guys know.
We're probably gonna have to.
We're calling him.
We're gonna have to call Pioli. However, you said something yesterday that's really interesting. If people are looking at, there isn't a massive difference between Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. Does Josh McNown, the new QB coach out there in, and I don't even know if he's the OC because Kevin O'Connell is still there, but the QB coach. So you have McNown.
Who coached him in high school.
You have right, who coached Drake May in high school. Does that guy have the ability to convince the Vikings that they should give up a bunch of picks if there isn't that big a difference between Drake May and, say, J.J. McCarthy? And joining us now, former GM of the Pats and the Kansas City Chiefs, you see him on NFL Network, friend of the show, our guy Scott Pioli. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, never mind friend of the show. I'm a friend of you guys.
That is true. That is true.
So if that is the case, we would both like an invite to Nantucket.
Oh, dear Lord. I've never been. I'm not allowed. Pioli,
well, we moved. We don't let folks like you and 4A over here, man.
No, that's fine.
No, we would especially
totally
since,
fine. You know,
we
I tell you, I'm glad it was so funny. I don't know if you guys heard, but I was trying to Christian. I was texting you. I couldn't get through on the phone. This is like classic draft day stuff. You're trying to get a hold of a prospect, let them know you're picking them, and the phones aren't working. Little drama we had getting together here this morning, guys. Oh, you still got me.
So the Gremlins got us in Detroit. What are you going to do? We're going to go right back to the phones with Scott Pioli to talk about everything draft. Scott, thanks for hanging on. We appreciate you. And I know I had the long answer and we dropped out, but basically when you were a GM, Scott, how much did you try to use the media to run subterfuge, get what you want, smoke somebody out on a trade? Because I'm betwixt and between on what we're hearing out of Foxborough these days.
Yeah, hang on one second, Gresh. Before we get back to this, you guys are just going to go right past that major fail you just had. I mean, it's draft day and your phones aren't working.
Yeah, you know what?
Oh,
we fumbled
gosh.
The pick.
Trying
you know
to get
what?
A hold of the pick. I mean,
yeah, we got nervous. We're role playing. If we're Elliot Wolf,
we're like the Mike Tice Minnesota Vikings. We missed our pick. Now we got to run it up there.
Hey, that's going to be Elliot's line. He's going to say, "Hey, listen, guys, don't complain about my pick, no matter what it is." Because you can't even get your phones to work on draft day, so yeah. I beat you there. So he's one up on you guys. I one, you guys, nothing.
Oh, my God.
Gresh, to go back to your question, you know, I was – well, first of all, I think you guys know I rarely – in my decade there, I was rarely in the media. I never did any – again, if you go back, things have changed. Bill was the one that spoke pre-draft. He was the one that spoke post-draft. So I never interacted with the media, you know, on or off the record. So sending signals or information or misinformation out there. My thing is this, you know, when I look at there's different kinds of misinformation, right? You could send a story out there that maybe you guys, or maybe your team's looking to do this but here's the misinformation that I see the most that I really struggle with and squirm with. Is the people, whoever the folks are, and the finger always gets pointed at the teams when there's misinformation about kids out there and the players. I call them kids, but the players. And when people are doing things in order to elevate their prospect or to maneuver or maybe make things fall the way that they want to get a player, or if there's an agent trying to elevate his own player who's putting misinformation out there about a kid who's worked his entire life to get to a certain space and to be drafted, that stuff I have no patience or tolerance for. I think it's one of the most mean-spirited things you can do. And, you know, I've seen people, I've seen whether it's media folks, I've seen agents, and I have seen some people from the clubs beating up a player or leaking, like the C.J. Stroud stuff last year. I mean, totally, totally unnecessary. I understand he ended up in a great place. He ended up where he was supposed to be. But that doesn't always happen when misinformation gets out there. So, you know, my feelings, you concentrate on what your job is. Get the evaluation right. Get the identification right. Do your job the way you're supposed to do it. And there's no need to lie to folks. And again, like if I was talking to you guys before the draft, what purpose would it serve our relationship if I was lying to you? Right?
No, I get it, but I'm curious. I'm curious, Scott, because what GM worth anything is going to allow himself to be influenced by something he sees on TV?
Yeah. You know, Christian, this is an incredible question because they shouldn't. And that's why, you know, I want to talk about this topic on NFL Network and we didn't get the time. But we're looking at this draft and all of a sudden we're hearing that there's going to be four quarterbacks, all these quarterbacks that have elevated out of nowhere. And part of the reason and the purpose is that they've elevated is that it's all anyone's talking about in the media. Right. And not just in New England. Right. New England's talking about it. The New England media is because there's a need for a quarterback. But the national media, there's so much focus being put on quarterbacks, 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 that there's this avalanche. And we see people fighting and trading to get up to take a quarterback that isn't necessarily one of the best players. And then when you talk to people in the positions that are going to make decisions, they don't understand why these quarterbacks are running up the boards. But the point that I'm making is there's so much – I don't think we give enough credit to the fans as to how intelligent they are about football and how smart they want to be. They want to hear more about quarterbacks. So I think teams, unfortunately, are starting to be influenced. I mean, just go back to – what is it? The 2021 draft. Five quarterbacks taken in the top 15. Now, at the end of the season, the college season that year, I don't think that there were five quarterbacks ranked that high. But five went in the top 15, and four of those five have already been traded. And not one of the players that's been traded has gotten back anything more than a third-day pick.
Now, Scott, is that because they're overdrafted or because the need is so great?
Well, yes, there's a need to get a quarterback. I mean, I totally get it. Yes, it's a need to get a quarterback. But, and again, I'm not saying that the San Francisco 49ers model or our model with Brady is going to happen. That's lightning in a bottle. But you don't have to get a great quarterback at the top of the draft. And yes, you need the quarterback. There's no doubt you need a quarterback to be successful and to sustain success. But to alter your draft board to go out of need versus best player available, to me, doesn't always make sense. And it's, you know, it's which is coming first, the chicken or the egg on this?
Scott Pioli with Gresh and Fourier here on WEEI talking about the NFL draft. First round is tonight. Patriots are sitting at number three. Scott, I saw a thing the other day on how the amount of picks needed to move up is just so enormous now. What is a bigger factor in trades, in your opinion, at the highest level in the draft? Is it, you know, that whole prohibitive cost of getting up there? But is giving up all those picks worth it? Because contractually, you're not handing a guy $60 million guaranteed anymore at the top of the draft and almost being automatically married to them. Is it the money or the picks that has changed maybe the way people have viewed moving up and down in the first round?
You know, Gresh, I think it's a combination of those two things. And again, usually when you move, if you move up, you're moving up to get a specific player. Again, this one isn't sexy, but when we moved up, you know, many years ago to take Ty Warren, we were moving up to take Ty Warren, right? That was the 2003 draft. We moved up one spot because we wanted to make sure we were going to get the guy. But when you look at what teams are doing and they give up, I just don't like that philosophy. Because here's the deal, and not many general managers want to say this out loud, not many, or, you know, whatever the job is, whoever's making the picks, you're going to get it wrong more often than you're going to get it right. So if you've only got your seven picks and you've got seven swings at bat, it's probably not going to end up well. You need to gather picks, collect picks to get more swings in order to get more hits. That's just the reality of it. Just own and understand that, you know, you're not that smart. You're not that good. You're going to do the best job you can. Hopefully your process will put you in the right place. But when I see teams giving up all that currency to move up, you have to get it right, because if you don't, it can cripple the organization for years.
And Scott, and that's kind of why, like, when we're talking to Scott Pioli, and when I see like what's coming out of the Patriots, like this emphasis and this, you know, paraphrasing their own words from Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo, how important it is to get this right. I feel like they're putting so much pressure, like the whole franchise is predicated on this number three pick and them getting it right and choosing the right quarterback. I'm just curious how you feel about their approach and how they've handled it so far.
Yeah, you know, so far, listening to them, getting it right, you know, and I think Elliott's doing a good job of being vague there. Getting it right doesn't mean that getting it right is taking the exact specific player at number three if it's a player that, you know, unless it's a player that they really love. So maybe he's saying getting it right is moving back to number five or to number six, still getting a quarterback that they like and getting more picks. We don't know what his, you know, what his description or definition of getting it right is. Is there a lot of pressure up there? Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I mean, in my first year in Kansas City, I had the number three pick overall, and that was, you know, and it's shown to be historically one of the worst drafts ever. And we were comfortable with the person we took and Tyson Jackson, who we thought was going to be a cornerstone for our defense and the defense we're going to run. I mean, the guy ends up being a 10-year starter, but it's not what, you know, a starting defensive lineman that doesn't get sacks isn't necessarily what you're hoping to get. The problem was we couldn't move out. So in terms of Elliott getting it right and Gerard getting it right, the franchise getting it right, you know, we don't know if that's a certain quarterback or moving back, which, again, I would encourage fans that if Elliott and Gerard and the team decides to move back a little bit because they have a quarterback they think that they can get a little bit later and add currency, I would say, you know, hey, right on. You know, just give them some room to breathe and let them develop the quarterback.
Scott Pioli with us just for a few more minutes here on Gresham Fourier. How did you or do you as a GM balance an owner who is like, oh boy, I maybe have the wheel for the first time here, or I've got the influence and maybe it's oppo of what you're thinking in terms of what you would like to do in the draft. Is that as big a thing as people make it out to be? Do you have to give the owner the stiff arm a little bit or jump up on the table and say, no, we need to do this for this reason?
You know, fortunately, Gresh, I was, you know, even with all the teams that I was ever with, that was never a factor. Even when I was a slappy in Cleveland, you know, for Bill and Cleveland. You know, seriously, Art Modell didn't tell Bill who to draft. When we, you know, from there we went to, you know, we went to Baltimore, and it's a fascinating story. In Baltimore, we got there in '96. I was, you know, Bill had been fired. I was there in '96. And Ozzie didn't even have the title of general manager. There was no general manager. There was no head of player personnel. Ted Marchibroda was the head coach. And even though Ozzie was the final say-so, you know, the owner wanted Ozzie to draft Lawrence Phillips in 96.
Running back out of Nebraska. And,
but exactly right, who, you know, ended up going to jail and hung himself in prison. God rest his soul. I mean, and we knew that there was trouble there. So what we ended up doing with the fourth pick overall that year is exactly what Ozzie wanted, what Ted Marchibroda wanted, what Kirk Ferentz wanted, what Phil Savage wanted, what I wanted, which was to draft Jonathan Ogden. And Art made it clear what he wanted, but said, Ozzie, do what you want to do. And that changed the franchise. And then again, all those years with the decade with the Patriots, Robert never told us what to do. And truthfully, Bill would not have put himself in that role, nor would I have gone up there, or Ernie Adams. The three of us would not have been in those seats if it was going to be done that way. And then Clark Hunt never did it. So, Gresh, I don't know exactly how to answer it other than
– I think you did.
You know, if I
you
was –
You did? Yeah, I think you did.
If I was in that role, I wouldn't join an organization where I was being told what to do, because then they really didn't need me. I'd be useless.
Yeah. So listen, last one for me before we got to go, Scott, is, okay, you're the GM. You wake up in the morning. It's draft day. Like, what's going through your mind? What's your routine? Like, what's the anticipation like for you on draft day?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, Christian, because it changed so much over my years, right? The draft didn't used to be the thing that went on at prime time. It started, you know, in the mornings. It was a two-day thing, and it started in the morning. So it evolved and changed over the years. But I know a lot of GMs and head coach, they play golf. I've never played golf in my life. You know, unless there's windmills and elephants on the course, you know, I'm not playing golf. So I just found a way to relax. I always got a workout in. You know, I would just find a way to try to not think about the enormity of the day and to try to decompress and relax.
So you're not running scenarios through your head. You're not role-playing a situation, trying to get out of the third pick, right? None of that stuff.
No, if you're having to do that stuff this morning, you've lost already. I mean, that was one of the great things I learned in my early years working under Bill in Cleveland was the preparation component and how important it was. And you need to run those scenarios. You need to do all those things. And then you need to be prepared, but you also need to have your mind and soul rested and comfortable so you can work with confidence and work with confidence, but also understand that there's going to be so many things out of your control. And if you start the anxiety early in the morning, you know, emotionally, you're going to be exhausted because you're sitting there at number three, or let's just say you're at number five or six. You may end up picking, because of trade, somewhere in the late 20s, because that's what you choose to do. And if you've worn yourself out emotionally, again, you're just not going to be prepared for the moment. The preparation needs to be completed long ago.
Well, I would dare say that if there was ever, in those days of Scott Pioli getting a pump in before the draft, if there was ever a GM bench press record that needed to be set,
he's going
to
win it.
Pioli was going to set that.
I've seen him in there.
Over a Spielman, I would say, as well. Scott, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate you, and we love talking to you, and hopefully we see you over the summer. Thank you.
I hope so, too, guys. Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, right, good stuff. Scott. Great stuff there from Pioli.
It was. It's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
You know? And it's interesting that what he said about that Kansas City pick when he had it at three, they basically couldn't sell it.
Yeah.
He didn't want it.
Because it was $60 million guaranteed then.
He didn't want it. But, you know, and they couldn't get out of that number three pick. And I believe that the Patriots don't want that number three pick. They want to move out of it. That's what I believe.
All right, well, let's get into that next with Gresham Fauria from Detroit.
Now, more Gresham Fauria on WEEI.
Who would have thought that NSYNC would work for the draft? What? You know the name of this song? It's going to be me.
Bye, bye, bye. Is that it?
Is it? Is this it?
I have no idea.
It is bye bye bye.
It is bye bye bye.
But in this, but no listen song. Here.
Okay.
No, this isn't.
No.
How about somebody effing jump in?
Nobody.
It's
wants
gonna be
to
May. You had it right the first time when you said it's gonna be me.
That's what I thought.
What was it?
It's gonna be May. It's gonna be me. The name of the song is It's Gonna Be Me.
Listen, just whenever you feel like you're gonna lose your, you know what? Think about the chicken. Think about the chicken. I've never seen Gresh more happy in his life when that waiter brought out that whole fried chicken. It was nothing but a carbo load last night. One big giant carbo load. Nothing but fried food.
Oh, man.
It was like we were like at a really high exclusive, you know, members only fair.
I'm not
and only the good fried food came
it's
out.
It's chicken. I like fried chicken.
And I'm not a good sleeper anyway, but, like, I'm normally five and a half, maybe six a night, kind of. Like, probably six. But, man, I don't know. My sleep's thrown off, and I'm just.
Was it the chicken?
No, it wasn't the chicken. It was, I think it's more of the sleep thing.
You missed your mind. See, here's the thing. Gresh is a big soft.
Feel like chicken tonight?
Gresh is a big softy. He doesn't want to admit that he can't sleep without his
wife.
Yeah,
I don't sleep well if I'm if she's
he
not
likes
with.
To snuggle up and spoon.
No, it's not. No, oh my God, are you kidding me? She, what are you talking about? I'm like a furnace for God's sakes. There ain't none of that going on. I feel like tonight's going to be such a letdown.
No, it's, if you mean letdown, they take Drake May with the third, with the number three pick, then yeah, then you'll be let down.
Yep.
You'll be let down.
Yep.
Personally, I've been listening to Scott Pioli, understanding, you know, what's at stake, what they're trying to do. They've already sent out the message, and I think it's a real message. In the most fumbled way possible, is here's what the package is. Here's what we're looking for. Just make us an offer. Just make me an offer.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm going to go back to something I said to you earlier. If there isn't a big difference between Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, are the Minnesota Vikings willing to give up three first-round picks and a sweetener to pick a guy, what, seven spots earlier? Hold on a minute. Eight spots earlier, and there isn't a big difference between the two guys. Like, what am I – this – oh, God. This Let's feels – no. You know what it is? This feels like just such – verbal nothing. Everything from Mayo, everything from Elliot Wolf. Ooh, by the way, they got to do things differently. They did their little interviews with everybody. You know, Pioli mentioned Bill didn't do anything. I'm hoping the fans can wrap themselves into the warm blanket of, oh, we have people who talk to us now. So this is going to make me feel better in the draft. When Pioli said something that really stuck with me, the whole, you're overdrafting for need. I keep coming back to that. I know it's the biggest need on the football team. But, man, oh, man, it feels like they went into this with just blinders on, and there we go. And they're praying to God. Somebody gets horny enough for Drake May that they're going to get bailed out.
Okay,
because but do you think they have to draft somebody who's a quarterback at three?
They don't want to pick a quarterback at three. They don't think the quarterbacks that are available are number three pick in the draft worthy.
The overdrafting
of quarterbacks, that's what I was trying to ask him, is gotten out of control. It's amazing. They just look at the last couple drafts.
Well, look at J.J. McCarthy.
Look at Zach Wilson.
Yeah, there
look
you go.
Look at Mac Jones.
Yes.
Look at Trey Lance. Holy cow. The 49ers couldn't convince themselves enough that he was the future of their team because they were so desperate. So it just happened. So I'm going to do this real quick because I know we have a short show. I want to make sure we get this in because I've never heard – and this is just get used to it, right? The first year Bill's gone, we're going to be constantly referencing things that have never happened before. Cameron Wolf is a reporter for the NFL Network.
Yes.
And when I saw this, I was like, what? He actually had a sat down in Gerard Mayo's office and spoke to him because it seems like there was needed to be more explanation of what a bag means.
Oh, I thought it was just the $8 biggie bag got the extra nuggets and the bigger sandwich.
No, and he might as well have just announced the pick right there and then on camera, but he did. And here's what Cameron Wolf said his conversation with Gerard Mayo was.
If the draft was starting today, they would stay at three and make a pick, but the draft still has 24 hours of that chaos we love, and Gerard Mayo told me in his office today, a sign of the change of times with the Patriots, that if that offer comes when they are on the clock, then they would have to heavily consider it. And he refers to that offer as a bag. He said it's not just going to be a pick in the teens and a pick next year. He said it's going to have to be something that is franchise changing because he knows they have to get this draft right, particularly at quarterback. And Mayo also told me they have narrowed down their list from their top pick to about six prospects they would love to choose from. But all eyes are on quarterback. And I want to focus on North Carolina's Drake May for a moment because Mayo really really raved about him when we talked today. He talked about how smart he is, how competitive he is. He really described his family. He said it's in his blood. He comes from a group of champions, a group of winners. And the last thing he said was the upside, which some people have as the first thing. And he said he's the type of guy who could be a franchise cornerstone. He's a guy with strong comparisons to Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. Maybe he's the quarterback. Maybe it's Michigan's J.J. McCarthy. Or maybe that bag offer does come and make them decide to move over those picks. One thing to note, they did sign Jacoby Brissett in free agency.
That's enough. Oh, my God. It's rambling.
There's one part of that that I'm trying to, like, keep it.
What?
Trying to hold it together.
Which part would that be?
Oh, well, it's a new day now because of Mayo. So if the call comes in whenever they're on the clock, they're going to answer now. Because I'm going to assume that for 23 years, Bill Belichick didn't pick up a phone.
Don't you touch that phone.
The stuff that – again, but again, even within the propaganda, send us a bag, Guess what's in there? Zinger. Here's how we're different. Zinger. Here goes Elliot Wolf talking to the media. Yeah,
that wasn't – I mean, the fact that – that was Cameron Wolf saying that they were different. Well, wasn't Gerard Mayo saying that.
No, he said Mayo said we're different. If you go back and listen to that again, he positioned it as Mayo said to me, things are different, and if the call comes in, then we're going to react. Like, that's the part that gets me.
Okay.
What are we – like, seriously, what are we doing, reinventing the freaking wheel here? I get it. Bill was a dick. Guess what? We knew that. He was a big meanie. Oh, my God, he didn't smile at people. But again, it's like, well, we're going to reinvent the draft. We got to get this right. We got to get that right. I mean, it's as if you took people who had 2 years of experience and then you put them into these roles to talk about all this stuff.
What team is Gerard Mayo talking to?
Like Minnesota.
There's absolutely. Hey, we love him. Hey, look at. Like, say, it's almost like he's describing, he's like literally putting it on a tee. Hey, this is how great this guy is. He's a franchise this. He's a cornerstone that. He comes from a long family of, like, athletes. He's a winner. You know, he's a phenom. Holy cow. He's a freaking phenom. And I use the word phenom because Orlovsky was on ESPN.
Oh,
and
we
heard
him.
Yep. A phenom.
Phenom.
I was like, wait, what? There's not. This is my point about overdrafting.
Propaganda.
Suddenly, Drake May, good ball player. Listen, a lot of work to do with him. Not saying he's going to be a bust, but and there's a foundation there that you can absolutely build on. Yes, there's not a phenom about him. Nothing there's phenomenal about him.
If he were a phenom, he would be the number one.
He'd be number one. So I'm fine with it. So then, hold on, I'm not done, Nick. Okay, now let's go to Adam Schefter, Gresh, okay? I'm going to see if you can make it through the end of the show without losing your mind. Zero chance. I think he could do it because I have some chicken left from last night.
I'm full.
Okay, so Adam Schefter was with Rich Eisen. He's on the set with Rich Eisen. His phone starts ringing, and then here's what happens.
But the whole thing is, right now to me, what's going to happen at 3? I think New England will wind up staying, but they've gotten calls from the Vikings, and they've gotten calls from the Giants, and what happens when we get on the clock, and New England's there, and the Giants or the Vikings say, we've got 10 minutes to go get the quarterback we want. I want to see what happens when New England comes on the clock.
Right.
And I want to see the phones in the room. I want to see who's calling in and what's going to happen. Who's going to step up? Minnesota, in my mind, is more desperate to get up there. But the Giants are within striking range of getting up there. So what, in the end, is more valuable? The more desperate team with more ammunition or the team that's at 6 to where the Patriots could go from 3 to 6 and still get the quarterback that they want?
For J.J. McCarthy, you think?
Or maybe J.J. McCarthy goes 3. Okay. Or maybe J.J. McCarthy goes 3.
Okay.
Or maybe.
So,
Here's
how it works. Okay. Here's how it works. The draft starts at 8.
And maybe my grandma will rise from the dead today.
Each team gets 10 minutes. So this is Mike Reese put this together. So the Patriots will probably pick at 820, 830 range. Now, 10 minutes is a long time.
Yes.
Because in the second round, it's not as much. And then each round, you get less time to make the pick. But there, it's obvious to me that there are a couple teams obviously poking around. But a lot of teams are poking around. Aren't you just trying to call and find out, like,
that's, you know, your job?
Well, yeah, your job, yes.
What's it going to cost to get to 3, 6, 9, whatever?
And now, of course, the Patriots are going to say a biggie bag. And just so you know what a biggie bag is, Mr. Minnesota Vikings guy, this is what I think a biggie bag is. Because what I'm giving you is a cornerstone player. What I'm giving you and providing you is the future of your franchise. I need the future of my franchise, but I'm willing to give up this specimen, this phenomenal athlete that only comes around once in a lifetime, to you. But it is going to come at a cost, right? Because this is how he's negotiating, right? This is, you're propping up your asset. You're trying to make it seem more valuable than it is. When it's really a penny stock, it's not a blue chip. He's a good player, but he is absolutely being overdrafted because of the need for the quarterback position is so high.
So in 2016, okay, it cost 10. Let me see. The Rams made that deal with the Titans where they moved from 15-1 and they literally had to give up. It was a first rounder, 2 second rounders, a third rounder, a first rounder in 2017, and a third rounder in 2017. Let's just say it cost the Minnesota Vikings 2 first-round picks because you're going to swap. You're swapping 3-11, and then you're paying the freight on the next 2. That's the currency to be able to swap. Is J.J. McCarthy or Drake May worth 3, a swap? Let's just say, are one of those guys worth an extra 2 first-round picks because they're so good? The answer is clearly no.
I know, but
so we're hoping that Minnesota has a guy in there who will be like, I coached him, I love him, blah, blah, blah. That guy's not the head coach, by the way. It's not Kevin O'Connell who would be doing this. It'd be Josh McCown who's doing this.
I would add to that, look what San Francisco did with Trey Lance, who I think was a bigger risk.
No question.
He was a bigger risk. He didn't even play in college. I mean, he did, but he just said he stopped playing, and he played at a lower-level FCS school. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? At the court, it's not Steve McNair.
Nope.
It's not,
it's not Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz played North Dakota State.
Who played at Delaware? I forgot the Delaware.
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco. I mean, it's unbelievable, but they will do it. Now, and I would say that, you know, John Lynch and, you know, Shanahan, they're pretty, you know, put together. They're not, like, crazy. They're not irrational. I think they make, you know, good, smart, sound business decisions. And they took such a massive leap with Trey Lance. And they got so freaking lucky that they still had a quarterback that was Mr. Irrelevant, even though they had other ones on their roster.
They had a great team.
Okay. They had a great team. They had a great system. They had a great offensive flow. So they saved them. Right? So,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think a trade is coming either.
I don't think it's
going to happen. And we'll see where it lands. Your thoughts, 617-779-7937. We got folks in the Twitch chat that are reacting. Dill Pickleson, 66, we aren't getting May. The draft tends trends back towards where it started, which was May 2nd, plus the Daniels reports with Washington. Interesting. We're gonna join up with our friends down in Washington here coming up.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
8 hours and 34 minutes until the NFL draft. And what we're about to kind of get into is we're going to try to find out what's going on in Washington as well, because right beside us was Finley and B-Mitch. B-Mitch and Finley, Brian Mitchell, who,
used to be kind of good at returning and being running with the football, which, by the way, doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, they're scared.
If you were in the lead today, Brian Mitchell with the former Washington Redskins, yeah, you would be, you'd have to play slot receiver.
I'll do that.
You'd be a third down back.
I'll do that.
Balls.
Yeah. I did all that.
Fine. Yeah.
You know, quarterback, whatever. Yeah. Nothing make me a difference.
Well, they're trying to get returns back in the game a little bit with these kickoff rules, right?
Semi.
Like, there's hope. Anyway.
Well, they do it. I watched the XFL, and that's what they were doing, now the UFL. That's the same thing they did there. And the guy that can get up to speed quickly is going to benefit him. And the guys that are very elusive running down the field, they're going to benefit them as well. So it's going to be some guys that they have back there returning now won't be able to do it.
It's interesting. Even Bill Belichick, who, you know, now for some fans, it's a bad word to say Bill Belichick now because he was a big meanie. But even him with McAfee, he gave like a 5-minute breakdown on, well, here's how all the body types are going to change up front. It's going to be less receivers and more blah, blah, blah. So, like, for the football people, clearly they can, like, flip the switch like that and try to figure this all out.
It is, and I think what you're looking at this point is more or less going to be like more of an offensive play now. You know, the kick return at the point, you had so much distance in between you.
Yeah.
Now with everybody lined up just a certain distance apart, it's more like the old Washington running play, the power and things like that. So you may see some coaches are going to be innovative. The innovative special teams coaches are going to have success. The ones that have been lazy, they're going to still not have success.
Interesting. Hey, so when Joe Gibbs left the first time, was his reputation ruined like Bill's was?
No. When he left, the thing about Joe,
they loved him so much they brought him back.
Joe was the nicest guy, and you know he'll let us know some things when it was bad, but to the public he was always that grandfather type, you know, the nurturing guy who always was very positive, religious, and things like that. So no one had a bad thing to say about Coach. But, you know, Bill can step on some toes.
Well, of course. And you know what?
But he was successful, though.
Well, and that's the thing, B. Mitch. And Brian Mitchell is with us. And we are hopefully going to connect with B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan down in D.C. But I get it that you and Christian, you're old school guys. You know what I mean? Like, you can – is there something to, in your opinion, the – modern athlete, quote unquote, and do you have to powder their bum and hug them? Or in the sport of football, can you still be direct and maybe step on some toes as long as you're successful?
You can be, but you have to be consistent. I think the problem with kids today, they all are entitled. Mm-hmm. And it's not just football players or things like that. It's everybody out there, even society, you know, adults working in buildings. Oh, I don't want to go into the building. I don't want to go to work. You can't tell me to do that. You know, everybody is doing it now. But if I have a certain standard and I stick to it, you have to deal with it.
There we go. I think the simulcast is happening, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, we got it going.
We actually made this work.
B. Mitch and Finley.
This is amazing.
And we have Doc Walker also.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Doc Walker. I haven't talked to Doc in forever, man. Wow.
What up?
How we doing, Papa Doc?
Hey, since we're in Detroit?
Papa Doc? I like it.
Can you rap Papa Doc?
Where is everybody right now? Doc and I are at a remote at D-City Smokehouse, Florida Avenue, Northwest D.C.
We're right here at Buffalo Wild Wings.
We're basically at
We're right next to each other. I just slid over to their table.
Yeah, we're basically, JP, we're at the Odyssey Super Bowl Center.
There you go.
The folks at 97.1
Odyssey
Detroit,
Sports.
Odyssey Sports, they've done a great job of setting everybody up. We're in a room, and by the way, the green room setup, B. Mitch is pretty good, right? They got drinks.
Yeah, I've already been into the Nuggets.
There we go, baby.
Love it.
So can I just ask you guys if I can start this? You all are going to make the pick for the New England Patriots. I just want you to know.
Yeah. Did you know that, by the way?
Did you know that?
So I kind of felt that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But think about it, though. Which quarterback are you all leaning to? Because I'm hearing all kinds of stuff.
Whoever Washington doesn't take.
Exactly.
But I don't know. So let's say Washington takes Daniels. Are you taking May or are you taking J.J.?
Taking J.J. third. I think it's Drake May. They've been begging for someone to come up and give them. You might have heard us at B. Mitch. We've been joking.
Why wouldn't
about
they go
that.
With J.J.? It's another the second coming of Tom.
Well, B. Mitch, they want a bag. Here's what they really want. What Elliot Wolf wants is for some hayseed to over-evaluate Drake May compared to J.J. McCarthy and go, we'll give you three first-round picks even though we shouldn't. That's really what they're hoping for, is that there's someone else that is more needy than them at quarterback.
Okay.
I like the voice for the hayseed there. That was pretty strong.
Well, you know, JP, I'm a yinzer. I spent the first 15 years of my life in Western Pennsylvania, also known as Western Pennsylvania, so I got that down. Basically, it's just me doing an imitation of my grandfather.
Brian and I believe the Commanders are going to take Jaden Daniels. We don't know, but we think it's Jaden. Yep. Doc thinks that the Commanders are going to take Drake May.
Your OC, the Washington Commanders OC, is now Cliff Kingsbury. You could not tailor make a quarterback for Cliff Kingsbury more than you could Jaden Daniels. It fits his offense. Even when he was at Texas Tech, as soon as I saw that Cliff was the OC, I was like, well, there goes Jaden Daniels, because I believe the Patriots value Jaden Daniels much more than Drake May. And they've been trying to do everything to find a way to convince themselves that that can happen. It isn't.
Nope.
Cliff Kingsbury wants Drake, a Jaden Daniels.
And it's been thrown out there that Drake May ran that offense. But when I look at Kyler Murray and I look at the two quarterbacks, the closest to Kyler Murray is Jaden Daniels. He's just 7-8 inches taller.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see Drake May being that type of quarterback.
Hey, Doc, I'm curious. Why May? And do you like him, or do you just think Washington is going to go with him at number two?
I just think the okey-doke, it's too good to be true. I like the kid out of Baton Rouge, like everybody else. But it's just too good to be true. So, on the contrary, because of this offense and because of who they've hired, I go, when has it ever worked out like you wanted to? Hardly ever. So we'll see.
Doc is still, you know,
he's had feel like suffered he's
from
PTSD.
Yeah. from the previous
one.
That's true.
And what's interesting is Fourier.
Fourier was there with him.
Well, Fourier has a strong opinion on Cliff Kingsbury because he played with him.
When they brought Cliff in, he broke all these records at Texas Tech, and he wasn't even actually playing. They stuck him in this room as a rookie, and he was breaking down film. I don't think he was supposed to be. And then he would roll out in his sweatsuit, and then when practice would start, and the little guy that would make sure nobody was practicing that should, he took off his sweats, and he started practicing. Okay? And now you can't do it anymore. So this is – you were not supposed to do that. Okay? And next I was like, wow, why are you in sweats, and why do you have your pads underneath your sweats? And where are your shoulder pads? Oh, I'm hiding them behind the tower.
Oh, I've been through some days like
that.
Yeah.
So I just feel like – listen, I would say, Doc, I rest assured – like, I just saw this tweet from Mel Kiper, and take it for what it's worth. Pretty much, hey, listen, it's going to be pretty boring at the top of the draft. It's Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2, Drake May 3.
Well, you know, I hope it works exactly like that, and they can go with, like, 5 minutes, because when Washington is on the clock, I start another show. When they're off of it and make their decision, I only have to do a few more minutes after. I can be free early.
You can be done early.
I can be at the bar quicker.
Yeah. Well, let us know which one you're going to.
Yeah, but they might trade back into the first, dude.
Yeah.
That's the trouble for going to the bar early.
JP, I can handle myself.
There was a draft a few years ago where they traded back to get Montez Sweat, and a lot of people had to react when that trade came down.
True. Yeah, and it caught me, and I was feeling good, and I sobered up real quick.
And what's it like, just so us Patriot fans, Patriots fans, and maybe, you know, Commander fans out there, you guys have been suffering, you know, for such a long period of time. What's it like to draft every year, like, in the top 10? Like,
weren't in the top 10 every year. We always get, like, after
they
the top
like,
10. You know,
like
we never
13,
were able to get in the top
15,
10.
17,
yeah, yeah, we're in the middle of it where all of the great guys are gone already.
Oh, not quite horrible, but just good enough to suck where you don't make
you
the playoffs.
You know what it's like with y'all about to experience for the next 5
That's
or 7
That's my point. That is my point.
See, they were over here talking, Jay.
No.
They're looking forward to what we've been dealing with for 27 years.
Yeah.
They're about to experience
we're virgins at this. No question.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for some advice from the old vet. You know, like, hey, how'd you do it, you grizzled old vet?
Well, and B, they did just draft second overall 5 years ago, like this, or 4 years ago. I mean, they just took Chase Young second overall.
Yeah.
And then I mean, they just drafted a quarterback. When was Haskins drafted? That was 19.
Yeah, that was.
RG3 was only 12 years ago.
Yeah, but you know what happens?
We are kind of used to this.
We know. I can tell you this. You can expect, based off of our drafting high in the top five, the first year is going to be great.
No.
And the rest, don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, wait. Why would the first year be great?
Because both of those guys they won rookie of the year.
Hope. Oh, that's true.
And then after that, I don't know what the hell happens.
So what happened to those guys?
I think with Robert, I think it was too much of he was given too much too soon.
And he got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt, but still.
Good call.
Well, you can get hurt, but people have come back from injuries over and over again. But I think he was given too much too soon. He was given too much at a point when he was not mature enough to handle it. And I think that kind of affected him some. With Chase, I think Chase's mindset was a little bit more off the field instead of being on the field.
You're listening to the WEEI 106.7 The Fan simulcast of B. Mitch and Finley with Doc Walker, with Gresh and Fourier. And guys in Washington, I want to ask you, I have a theory that I think has held true for many, many years, and that is dopey new owner syndrome. They can't help themselves, okay? Now, in New England, they aren't dopey owners, but this is the first time that, as Fourier said, whenever Mayo got named head coach, ding dong, the witch is dead. Oh, my God, we can come out now.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that maybe going on in New England. Do you guys in Washington have any fear of that whatsoever, that, ooh, it's a first-time owner and he can't wait to ride the roller coaster?
No, I think he has enough experience with his other – he owns
Josh
two
Harris,
other
– yeah.
Yeah, Josh has experience there. And I also think they got a guy who's a professional player – on top of it, has been an owner of other places that could kind of keep things a little even keel. Listen, they're changing up things. Magic Johnson, but they're bringing things up to now the way things are supposed
to be. Like they're getting
to par. Washington was behind.
Yeah.
By far.
Well, and now they're bringing one of those guys who would be like, hey, maybe you should take a quarterback.
Now, I don't think Josh is going to be involved like that, but I think he hired the right guy.
He's going to be in Ashburn. He's going to be in Ashburn for the next 3 days, and that means, I believe, Sixers-Knicks is tonight, right, in Philly? And he's going to be in Ashburn instead. I think
he should be, because that's most important right now for him.
Sixers-Knicks are tonight, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think with Washington, because Washington's going to make him way more money than the Sixers.
Well, and it's the number two overall pick, and it's your first draft, right?
Like, yeah, you kind of have to be there.
Yeah, you should be.
We got to talk to him at the owners' meetings in Orlando, and he was honest, because at that point we asked, hey, you were in the room for the meetings at the Combine. What was up with that? He's like, man, it's my first time. I want to know how this process works. And pay $6 billion for something? Yeah. I'm not mad about
that's
it.
That's what you should have started off with. I pay $6 billion. I get to do what the hell I want to do.
Yeah. He's going any meeting at any time, unannounced, whatever you feel like it.
Right.
And that's kind of what Gresham was talking about with the Crafts. Like, you know, they were basically locked out of big decisions, injury reports, and everything like that. And now they basically have an open-door policy.
But it worked for them.
It did.
Nobody's whining, bitching about the outcome and the results.
No, now
it's
we're
about
in
now
the,
what?
Now we're in the hug era of New England. Now we're in the, we talk to the media now. And, players.
So Bill had the owner scared? To talk to the media.
Thank you, B. Mitch.
Wow.
Bill, oh, yeah.
He's
oh,
a badass.
No. Hey, how about
they got their revenge by making a movie.
How about
a 10-part movie.
I respect Bill even more now. When you can tell a dude who owns it, do not talk to the damn media. I like that.
Yep. No, and about that movie, Finley, that was –
oh, my God.
That backfired.
Yeah.
That kind of backfired.
Are people up there as mad about it? Because it was such a hack job.
Yes.
I mean, they just went after Bill episode after episode.
Oh, so you recognize that also, right?
Yeah. I talked to Mitch about
going,
it all the
going
time.
After the guy that went to more Super Bowls than some divisions combined, and you're going to try to make it seem like he was bad?
No.
Man,
I'm glad you guys mentioned that, because we're so insulated sometimes, and we don't hear what people talk about outside of that New England region and how they viewed it, because we felt like they created that to, they took all the juicy, stories and say, hey, listen, this will sell to people who aren't football fans, right? Make this guy the bad guy, make this guy the, benevolent, owner who just wants to keep all the peace, and make Brady the, the tortured soul who's just trying to win championships. There's something out of a Shakespearean play.
Nah, man.
It really was.
That dude was an orchestrator, and they won a lot with him. They can't people are not that stupid to believe that crap that they try to put out.
Did you guys, was there any a chance that Bill was in the running for that head coaching job with the Commanders?
I think once they hired Adam Peters, he wasn't.
I think Magic wanted to at least discuss Belichick. And I think nationally there's a misperception that this is just kind of a vanity project for Magic. I think Magic's involved. I think Cliff Kingsbury's here because of Magic. I think maybe a guy with Magic's gravitas, you heard along the way here, we heard maybe Jaden Daniels doesn't want to go to the East Coast. He's a California guy. You know who could help ease those concerns is a fellow like Magic Johnson, who does work all over the country but lives in L.A.
But
the thing of it, I just think that with Bill comes in, that's a lot of stuff with it.
And if you're a lot of good stuff.
But also a lot of things that are going to mess up. If you think Adam Peters is the guy and you hired that guy first to come in here and change it, you can't bring Bill Belichick.
Why? What if he says, I don't want to – Andy Reid had power in Philly. He turned it down.
Andy Reid's power is not like
you don't think it's the same thing.
So Belichick walked around like
Belichick
Darth Vader.
Overshadowed everybody. Like
but he literally told Arthur Blank, he's like, I don't want to do it. I can easily see him saying, hey,
everybody's
I'm
scared.
You know what?
I know, but I don't think they trusted him.
Michael Jordan didn't want to shoot basketballs and go to the hole, but every time he touched one, he went, didn't he? Bill Belichick has been doing this all his life. He cannot change.
Nature.
He can't change.
But maybe so, and we'll see. You think he coaches again?
Probably so.
I don't know.
Somebody is going to go with it, and then people don't believe that his style works anymore. I think that's total BS.
I agree.
Because if you're consistent from day one being that way, everybody falls in line. But if you try to play the game as most coaches do today, want to be rough one day, oh, very nice the next day, rough the next. No, Bill's going to be the same way the whole time, and guys will fall in line.
It's too confusing.
And if he's successful, people go. They already know his history. If he comes in and he's successful, everybody's going to fall in line.
So, JP, are you ready for this next year after, I'll say, maybe like a 10-win season in Dallas? We get, hey, I went out and got me Grace head coach of all time because we got to find a way to beat everybody in our division. There we go. Here you go. Here's Bill Belichick. Are you ready for Bill Belichick?
Yeah, and he'll hate Cowboys. Bill in the end just like he hates Jimmy, who won him 3 Super Bowls. Yeah.
I would think so. But if he won him one, at least Jarrah can go to the, you know, Hall of Fame in the sky.
There could be a mutually parting of the ways for that team as well.
Hall of Fame in the sky. I love it. It'll be very interesting what happens with Belichick. And I think he's got to try to break the record, right? I think he certainly wants to try to pull that off.
Absolutely.
But I think Washington wasn't a fit. Does he want to rebuild a team? He wants to go somewhere where you're winning.
I think he loves the rebuild. I do. I think there's a part of him that he's such a football hardo.
But he's shown a little bit where he don't know how to rebuild.
What's that?
No, he doesn't.
He's shown where he doesn't know how to rebuild.
That's not what he wants. He wants a talented team that is underachieving. That's what he wants.
Fair.
So he comes in there, he whips them into shape, right? And then they win because they're talented, but they just have no direction.
Yeah.
You know, they have a coach that is inconsistent or just stupid, which I think is fair to say for some coaches.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just dumb.
It's amazing to think a great coach.
You play long enough, you'll run into some dumb coaches.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Would you say there's more? Yeah, more dumb. Thank you. I say this all the time. You run more dumb than good.
The players make them look smart.
Yeah.
Hey, JP, you know what? Someday what we'll do is we'll put the three football guys together. And then have them tell stories, and then you and I will go play nine holes or something like that.
I love
it. And we can get the assorted tales of stupid coaches.
It'll take them longer to play nine holes than it'll take us to figure something out. I promise you that.
Oh, listen, you all, JP Mitch, I worked with you before. I know you got it, baby. All that stuff, and Doc, too. Guys, this was a blast. And
I'm amazed we pulled it off, quite frankly.
Well,
this is wild. There's a lot going on here.
Hey, man, listen, you got to give more credit to y'all's producer.
I am.
And ours. You know?
I am. He was sweating bullets.
We messed with him, but guess what? They got it together.
Our guy Billy Lanny, he sounds very
Billy Landy is your
Billy
guy.
Lanny,
Lanning. Okay, our guy is Landy.
We call him
Landfield.
Professor Landini.
If Professor Landini sounds like Billy Lanny, who will tell you, the Patriots are going to take this guy. He's going to suck. Yeah, he's got that going.
That's
or whatever.
Basically how
no,
it is.
I'm not saying that that's what Billy would say, but it's the way Billy would say it, and that's part of the reason why we love him. Hey guys, this has been an absolute blast.
Definitely, man.
JP,
definitely.
We'll give you B. Mitch back after he hits some of the boneless wings again.
Yeah, because they're putting the food out.
He likes those wings, man. Let him go. Hey, we're good.
They haven't brought the beer up yet, though.
No, there's. That's true. Yesterday, the beer was out early. You guys were here. They had it out at 8:30 a.m. in the morning.
And I don't drink, but there were some missing.
Yeah, I heard it's out now. Let's go grab one.
I don't drink. I do.
Hey, thanks, guys. We appreciate you.
All right, man.
And Washington and Boston will be back after this.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
I'd get a chance to update yesterday's lunchtime parlay. We went 2-2 yesterday. Gresh and Fourier from Detroit. We will wrap things up by around 12:05, as Arcand has got Red Sox pregame coming up here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Well, we gave Fourier some bad advice. The whole Rafael Devers under 1.5 hits, 1-1, then hits a bomb, went 3-for-4. Jason Tatum did go over 25.5 points. How about Joe Ryan? Now, no one on the planet has been more loyal to Joe Ryan in betting than Billy Lanny. And he left him one out short last night. Son of a buck. And then Jaylen Brown won over 20.5 points. So we are back up on the horse once again for today's lunchtime parlay. It is presented by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, and the official sportsbook of WEEI. I'm going low-hanging fruit. Jokic over 27.5 points tonight. Just feel like he's going to have a big game. The guy always has a big game. But I'm going to go with the points total instead of a triple-double over 27.5. Billy Lanny, good morning.
How are you?
Hey, you. How about Washington giving you guys all the credit for setting all this up and the crossover and the simulcast? Congratulations on a job well done.
Yeah, I'll take it where we can get it. We're back here biting our nails, but we pulled it off.
We did.
I definitely wasn't standing 7 feet away from the board just in case I didn't touch anything.
Seriously,
something went wrong.
As soon as it connected, and the other station was up on the access and it sounded good, he literally put his hands up and stepped away from the board to not touch
that
anything.
That is fantastic. Yeah, we've had some gremlins today.
Yeah, just your regular concerns, worried about a little feedback, but it sounded good on our end, and hopefully it sounded good over the year. So today the Dodgers are in Washington to play the Nationals. Yoshinobu Yamamoto's on the mound, so I'm taking him to throw over 6.5 strikeouts against the Nationals.
All right, so Yamamoto over 6.5 Ks. Chicken Nick.
I'm sapping all the value out of this parlay, by the way, so I'm sorry. But
oh, no, you're not.
It's draft time, and you know what that means. It means Drake May is going to be a Patriot with the 3rd overall pick. So give me Drake May to be the number 3 pick. It is minus 240, so he is the heavy, heavy favorite. But let me see Drake May at number 3.
And finally, we're going to put the juice back in the parlay from pick stealing. I mean, from Christian Fourier.
Pick stealing? Oh, no, this is not pick stealing. Okay, I'm taking Bobby Dalbec over just to hit a home run, okay? Why? I'll tell you why. Because the great Lou Merlone told me so.
There we go.
Lou Merlone has had a vision, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll read his tweet from about an hour ago.
Had a vision.
Draft day. Hopefully I'm home in time for the Pats pick. But first, one more in Cleveland. Just want to let you know, I'm calling a Dalbec bomb today.
Wow.
It's happening. There it is. Bobby Dalbec hits a home run, gets out of that slump, and we win a lot of money thanks to me.
So, Dalbec on a dinger, plus 600. Drake May, the number 3 pick, minus 240. Yamamoto over 6.5 strikeouts, a plus 105 at the Nationals. And I got Jokic over 27.5 points at minus 115, minus 112 when I looked at him. I think it's moved here recently. But anyway, folks, you're $10.
And our guy, $1.2 trillion.
Pretty damn close. $375.41 is what you will make on your $10 with today's lunchtime parlay. And if Bobby Dalbec socks a dinger, then I'm gonna start pick snaking from Lou as well.
Well, it wasn't even a pick snake, was it really? It was like
he put it on Twitter, so therefore it made it public. If he texted you and said, "Hey, buddy, I have a hookup for you,"
it seems more like a wish more than like a prediction.
A wish.
Like it doesn't it feel like make a wish? It feel like he's sending it out to some sort of you know, corporation. I have a Make-A-Wish Foundation. I'm looking for some takers.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, so 375-41. We'll get that out on social media. Gresh Fourier, W-E-E-I. Gresh and Fourier on Instagram.
And the Fourier?
And what did I say the Fourier?
No, I kind of like it.
Maybe we should have done that. Oh, you want to be the Fourier?
I want to be the Fourier. Like I'm some weird animal, like lost in the jungle, and finally you see me for the first time. You thought I was extinct, and then you know, like, oh, my God, I see footprints.
There you go. Ooh, it's the Fourier
yes.
in the wild.
Oh, my God. Ooh, take
you,
a picture.
Like, coming out of your coming out of the woods out of the back of your house. All right. So we are set with the we're good with the parlay here, and 375-41 is where we've landed on that. So we got a couple of minutes before we hand it off to Red Sox baseball. So I want to ask Billy and Nick, because we've been on the fast track. We haven't had a chance to really interact with them. Guys, do you see it being as straightforward and as what the guys in D.C. said, boring? I know, Nick, where you're at on the whole Drake May to be the number three pick, but Billy, where do you land on this?
My heart was set on Marvin Harrison, but yeah, I think it's going to be boring and it's going to be Drake May.
I'm with you, Billy. I would, in what would be the upset of all upsets? Like, you want happy, non-fried chicken happy me? If I hear with the number three pick, the New England Patriots take Marvin Harrison Jr., first of all, wet my pants. Because I don't believe it's going
to
happen, but that would make me and a lot of other people happy, I'm sure. But I've given up hope. There's no way Marvin Harrison or even Roma Dunze, fine, neighbors, okay. I'm very much sold on Harrison, but if there were one of those other two in a slide down, okay, fine, I can at least see it. But no, they're going to do. It's the one thing we feared at the very beginning of this. He might not be worthy of the number three pick, but we're going to take him because we feel like we have no other choice. And I flip on ESPN today, and I end up seeing Dan Graziano. And his big lead was basically ownership has told them, you got to come away tonight with a quarterback.
Yeah, no, I mean, and why can't they still accomplish that? They didn't say – where they had to get a quarterback. They said, we need a quarterback. They don't need Kraft to tell them that they need a quarterback. They know.
Okay, they know. But what it does is it puts implied or direct pressure on them to choose a position, not a player.
Okay, so the biggest problem with this is that there is a fear instilled in them that if they do expose themselves for moving out of that comfortable, safe number three pick, that they will lose out on the guy that they want. Right, or instead of having three options, they have two. And then next thing you know, they have one. Then they have zero. Then next thing you know, they're drafting Bo Nix. Even though I like Bo Nix, it's like I know that's not the guy that they want. So the question I have is ultimately, okay, when the offer comes in, there is going to be an offer. It's going to be underwhelming, right? It's not going to be
they're
at
not
all
take
what
it.
You think. And then the question I have for Minnesota, the Giants, or any other team that has not been named yet, because I'm sure there is a team – that is just hanging out and waiting for the actual real game to start. How close do they have to get to what they really want in order to say yes? Or does it have to be what they want and no exceptions, right? Take it or leave it, or I'm hanging up the phone, right? Because that's bad business.
Well, I would say this. You're at the top of the round, so you have the ability to move within every round if you want to. It's not like you would be giving up to move up. It's you would get something to slide down. And if we believe what a lot of people have been saying, that there's a pretty healthy crop of players, say from, you know, 40 to 90, let's say, that a lot of teams really like or will try to go for value or something, that's where it could get interesting.
See,
for the Patriots.
Yeah,
you slide down in the second round and get yourself an extra fourth, then it gives you currency to move around a little bit if you want to.
Yeah, this is the whole, like, what something is worth and what somebody is willing to pay for it comes into play. It's like the real estate market. Hey, you know what? This house, you know, depending on what time of year, want to buy a house, you may get a great deal or you may get fleeced. Oh.
We still got 2 minutes.
Oh, we do?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
We may be doing an Instagram Live. I want to mention this. I just got to talk to Kent. So if you go to our WEEI Instagram page, that's where we would be doing it.
I think so.
Okay, just so we know. So,
and we're going to join the Rich Keefe draft party at various points. Here's our problem in committing to the draft party right now. We're going to do it.
Well,
we don't know when, and it's just joining them on the phone or something, but we haven't been in the area where we are going to be working
tonight. But we are going to do some reconnaissance right now. We're gonna walk around. We're going to work off that chicken that we ate. I still feel fat as hell based on all that food I ate. I think I technically ate more than you.
I'm sure you
did. Because I ate all the potatoes and the hash browns and the egg, and I ate half the onion rings.
And by the way, it is interesting that on the tweet from Fourier, there were not one but two whole chickens on the table because you and I each got one.
Yeah.
Yet somehow I caught the blowback. old poopy butt Mego she's like, oh my God, what did he get, a beer? No, yeah. How about this there? I don't really like to drink. So I don't know if that's going to – oh, yeah. Well, they were also $35.
$35. I tell you what.
You set us up for
it. Did you write a review?
Yeah.
No, it was it's a little – the food was great. The drink sucked. There's my review.
And we'll see if the draft sucks tonight. Red Sox baseball is next with Arcan on the pregame. Great job, Nick and Billy and everybody in Twitch. We'll see you tomorrow.
Later.
We got you tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. And by the way, Razor at 11:25, Web Picks at 11:45,
Lou
at noon.
Come on, Lou.
And then it's
sweet
pretty
Lou.
Much we're gonna just draft it up there. So, all right.
That's it for us.
We are done. Enjoy Red Sox baseball. We will see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And hopefully the music doesn't have to play too long.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.